John, Michigan football. I know it's exactly how your Saturdays have been going this year. Let's talk through it, because they lost to Indiana, surprisingly played a close game with Indiana, but I left the game feeling like Sharon Moore cost them that football game.
Sharon Moore and the coaches.
Yes.
Like, it's, and obviously everything falls on the head coach. It just, it's one of the better opponents that they had played this year, but they had multiple opportunities to win the game. And what hurts the most, there were clock management issues at the end. Timeout that wasn't taken for 28 seconds, then you do. It was, you know, and I asked Sharon about the 4th and 3 at the start of the second half where, you know, it's 3rd and 8. They pick up 5 yards with a run. It felt to me like they were in that position of the field. And we've got some audio that we'll share with that in just a moment. But the thing that was most frustrating was twice inside the 5-yard line, they had the ball and did not score touchdowns.
Yeah.
The very first possession of the game and the very first possession, or not the first possession, the second possession of the second half, at right after the interception. If you can't score a touchdown or even really make a threat of scoring a touchdown in those positions, then honestly, you don't deserve to win the game. And they didn't.
20-15. It's close. Holding Indiana to 20 points. Noteworthy. I thought the second half defense for Michigan was really good. They stopped the run. Got to the quarterback. They applied pressure, but then also sacked the quarterback. They got Rourke off the field. They gave their offense so many chances to win that game. And I feel like the chances weren't capitalized on. Now, some of that is this offense just isn't very good. They couldn't run the ball, and to your point about red zone execution, that's going to get you beat. But I don't feel like Sharon Moore gave them every opportunity to win the game offensively. Their first two possessions of the second half, you've already kind of alluded to one of them. They have it 3rd and 7, midfield. They run it on 3rd and 7. I'm okay with that, because in all likelihood, you're going to go for it on a 4th down. 4th and 3, they line up, and then they take the delay game and punt.
Yeah.
And I don't understand running on 3rd and 7 if you're not going to go for it on 4th and 3. 4th and 3, midfield. Hey, guys, let's get some urgency. Let's understand Indiana's got a high-powered offense. We're not going to win on the road with field goals. We may have, and they may have failed, John, because I know the offense isn't very good. But 4th and 3, you know, Sharon talks about challenging plays because he wants to fight for his guys. Hey, fight for your guys and call a good play on 4th down. If it doesn't work, I can respect it. John, the very next possession, this is back-to-back possessions to start the second half. I know we have audio, but I just want to tie the points together, because they get a 4th and 3 the very next drive, and they kick the field goal. You're 3 yards out of the end zone. Do you need touchdowns to win? Yes, yes, yes. You can't kick field goals and punt on 4th and 3s and beat Indiana. They needed a touchdown in that game, and they only had the one, and they lost.
And so I'll go back to the first possession where it's 3rd and 7, and if you're not going to go for it, then it affects your 3rd down call.
Throw it on 3rd down, then, or call something more dynamic,
right? Something that's going to pick you up the 1st down. Because if you're just going to line up and one, not kick the field goal, or not go for it and just take the penalty and basically go back to where you were on 3rd down to punt, like, I don't understand the point of the play call on 3rd down. That's where I have an issue with how the plays are being called. If you don't have the foresight of thinking, this is what we're going to call on 4th down, and the problem is you at the start of the season, you want to develop a couple of plays that you know, no matter what defense it is, no matter what situation it is, we can pick up two yards. Yeah. Like, this is our confidence play. This is our safety blanket. This is what we are going to hang our hat on. And that, you know, 90% of the time, we're going to pick it up. I don't think they have that play. And that's where, if you're a play caller on 3rd and 7, if I'm thinking I'm going to call a run, okay, well, you're averaging, what, the 3.5 yards per carry? So if you exceed expectations and get 4.
First down.
So now it's 4th and 2.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
So now what is our 2-yard play? And so if you're not going to go for it in that position on the field, then why are you calling that 3rd down run?
It's sequencing is what you're talking about.
Right.
It's having like
a rhythm, a sequence, a thought, a process.
Being a step ahead instead of like, oh, we got to the line and realized this play wasn't going to work, so now we have to take a delay a game, try to get him to jump off sides, right. but take a delay a game and punt. And like to me, John, I don't know if it's the belief in their defense. They're playing Indiana, a team that was elite at scoring. You were going to need a touchdown at some point. I thought it was coaching scared. To punt the ball on 4th-and-3, to kick a field goal 4th-and-3 from the goal line. I thought those are coaching decisions that you're playing not to win. Well, you're playing scared.
So you have no idea what's going to happen defensively after you punt. But this was the theory. This is what Sherrone Moore had to say when I asked him about it last night. So it did work out well. But again, it didn't end up in a touchdown because you're inside the 10-yard line
and you can't score. Yeah.
So the math in that occasion worked out, but you can't gamble on getting a turnover. This is a team that hadn't turned the ball over. This is also a team that hadn't been sacked. Now, you were able to do both. You got the turnover, and you were able to apply pressure. They had given up 4 sacks in Big Ten play, and Michigan got 4 sacks, but it was all for naught.
I just feel like they wasted a really good defensive performance in a season where they've had some poor defensive performances, right? I mean, they struggled to stop Texas and Oregon and, you know, Indiana, maybe not on their level, but was scoring north of 40 points a game. Mm-hmm. And Michigan held them to half their season average, less than half of the average for the season. You go on the road, you give yourself a chance. I just think they didn't take advantage of the chances by calling offensive plays on 4th-and-short. And maybe they wouldn't convert, but then don't show up. Don't play the game then. Like, you got to try in those spots.
Yeah, I even on the broadcast, I was shocked that they didn't run a play on 4th-and-2 and then took the penalty to go back to where they started on 3rd down.
It's like, what am I watching? And then
Don Zavada has been really good. He's been outstanding as a kicker.
Just kick it. Yeah, it's 3 points.
I mean, he was good from 56, and as that ball went through, we commented on the broadcast, it would have been good from 62 or 63, at least, maybe more.
Very good kicker. And then we kind of glossed over it, the end of the game. Okay, I think it's 1:51 on the clock, just to reset this for people. You have 3 timeouts. I already see you dipping, kind of putting your head down. Indiana runs an 8-yard play. It's unfortunate that they got 8 yards on the 1st down, but you got to call a timeout. Because a 1st down effectively ends the game, right?
Yeah, they got the ball with 1:35 left.
Yeah, okay, 1:35 left. You got to use your timeouts. It's got to be 3 straight runs, 3 straight stops, 3 straight timeouts, and you get the ball back. If they run it on 1st down and don't get a 1st down and you don't call a timeout, you bleed, and they did bleed nearly 30 seconds off the clock. And the TV broadcast, I know you can't hear that, John, while you're broadcasting the game.
They were saying the same things we were.
Yeah, they're like, going,
what is going on?
These seconds are gold, and you are letting them evaporate. This is precious time that Sherrone Moore is letting bleed off the clock, only to still call the timeout. So, I mean, there wasn't like some workaround that he was plotting. Well, this just felt like mismanagement from the head coach.
And then we saw the exact same thing happen in the Steelers-Commanders game.
Yeah.
Well, now obviously the Commanders ended up jumping off sides, giving them a 1st down, but it was 3 timeouts forcing them to punt.
Yes.
And we thought the Commanders were going to have a little bit more magic left in their genie lamp. It was all for naught because rookie defensive tackle ends up jumping off sides on 4th down.
So the question for Michigan fans, are you losing faith in Sherrone as a head coach? And I'll start. I liked the decision to promote him. You wanted to continue the momentum of Michigan's national title. The identity as a physical running football team. He's a former offensive line guy. A reputation as a good recruiter. These are things worth taking a shot on.
And a good play caller.
Yes, when he was calling plays. Mm-hmm. That is not the case this season. Am I losing faith? Yes. I mean, I don't like seeing 30 seconds get bled off the clock absentmindedly asleep at the wheel at the end of the game. I don't understand 4th-and-3s kicking 3 yards from the end zone, a field goal, or running a 3rd-and-long only to take a delay of game and punting the ball. These feel like coaching blunders. And as far as play calling goes, he is not making the decision to strip Kirk Campbell of play calling. Therefore, he is endorsing Kirk Campbell as the play caller every week. That is an issue that I would have as a Michigan fan. And we are getting ticket texts. People are unhappy naturally with a 5-5 football team, but it's not like he's squeezing every single ounce of talent out of this roster. In many ways, they've underachieved. In many ways, they blew a chance to beat Indiana this week. They were in that football game and they did not coach it well.
And if you're going to make a change at quarterback, which they've done 4 times, if you're going to make a change in personnel up front, some of it due to injury, but others due to performance, if you're going to make a change at other positions, then why not consider taking over play calling?
We've asked him. I've asked him about it. You've asked him. We've asked him about that, and he is saying it's a collective effort. He's kind of deflecting to the team. He doesn't want to single out anybody. But then you all get lumped in, is what I'm just going to default to. Then fine. And you are endorsing this product, this offense, well, this coaching staff, and this play calling.
But the I mean, again, the question I go back to is, if you're going to hold players to a certain standard of performance, then why not do that for your staff as well?
And I do think, I don't think he should be fired right now. I know we're going to get some of that in the ticket text. I think this is an incredibly pivotal offseason for Michigan football and for Sherrone Moore, because you aren't Jim Harbaugh. You need to put your own stamp on the program. You will have a chance to get in line at the buffet before everybody else. You're not going to be in the playoff and have some long season. You need to hit the portal. You need to revamp your staff. You need to put your stamp on the program, and it has to look a hell of a lot better next season.
Well, and this is where Sherrone Moore, you could call it, you need to be cutthroat. It's just called being a leader. You've got to make tough decisions, and you can't worry about feelings. If you're going to make a decision about bringing in a transfer portal quarterback or offensive lineman or defensive lineman, because you're losing a lot of talent to the draft or to graduation up there as well, like, you're going to have to bring in an influx of talent. There's no question about that. And if you're not worried about players' feelings in that, which you shouldn't, that it's the same thing with your staff. Like, you can't be loyal to a fault.
Right.
Loyalty is, and should always be a part of the decision, but the loyalty is ultimately to the team, to the school, to the brand, like, and to yourself. Like, if you don't make those changes, instead of somebody else being out of job, everyone will be out of job.
Some ticket text coming in. This one says, Michigan calls plays like they have last year's personnel. They obviously don't. This O-line is not moving people. Yeah, we're to the point now where you're deep enough into the season. The O-line has not developed enough. Neither back got going against Indiana. And when neither back is breaking off big runs, John,
it's a problem.
I'm looking at up front going, are you guys doing enough?
Of all of our techs, I agree with that one the most today. I really believe that. He's coaching last year's team, he thinks. To a degree. I mean, you can almost make the case that without all the other quarterback shuffling, that orgies being used like JJ was a couple years ago. You know, the orgy thing is a joke. The fact that he came in on that opening series on second down, completely derailed that drive, which then led to 3 points instead of you getting seven, which then would have factored in later into the game when maybe you just needed a Zavada field goal to actually win the game. And I also think, too, when he came back in the first half and he fumbled, you know, what are you doing? This doesn't work, but he keeps trying to do it.
Ticket texter says, Sherrone doesn't have a clue. He's in over his head, and he's drowning, taking the program down with him. Texter says he needs to be fired. Sadly, they won't until the NCAA stuff is over. Drew in Woodhaven. Another one says, you think Sherrone can think two plays ahead? It took him 30 seconds to realize he needed timeouts taken at the end of the game. Let's temper our expectations. And this one says, is Michigan still going to win the national championship? No. Says, like John predicted, you had them in the title game.
Yeah,
you've taken your lumps for that.
I've taken my lumps, yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to pile on there. Texter says, why doesn't Cookies bring the same energy when he talks about the Spartans? Well, there's two different standards. I mean, let's just acknowledge the elephant in the room. One's coming off a national title with playoff expectations every time they put those winged helmets on. Michigan State's coming from the ashes.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want me to rake Jonathan Smith over the coals too? I'm not seeing this level of mismanagement in the games.
No, we could go back to the head-to-head matchup and talk about...
And Sherrone outcoached him. I said that at the time.
Right. But again, it's two different expectations this year for these teams. And when those expectations are what they are, and call it unfair, call it whatever you want, it doesn't matter. There's nothing... Fair doesn't play into any of this.
How about this ticket text? Because we're not getting a lot of support for Sherrone, but this one is interesting, John. Sherrone reminds me of Dan Campbell's first year with clock management issues, play calling issues with Anthony Lynn. Needs to step up and remove coordinators who aren't working. Signed, an assistant JV youth football coach from the sideline.
Well, so I could see the comparisons. The difference is halfway through that season, Anthony Lynn was no longer calling plays.
Well, that's what this person's saying, is if you're not willing to make those changes, you won't eventually have a Dan Campbell-like impact on your football team.
Or trajectory.
Yeah. Ticket Texter says, I think Michigan's biggest mistake is they didn't adapt to the talent in the room. Orji's the best athlete they have, but he is not a pro. And then it cuts off. Sorry. They're not using Orji properly. Did you agree with that?
They're using him like they did last year now. You know, I know there was a couple of games where they did make him the starter, but it was clear, you know, he wasn't going to be the thrower that they hoped he was going to develop into. The problem I have is that every time Alex Orji is in the game, I really believe if Teddy could speak full sentences and words, he would say Michigan's going to run the ball. Like that to me is the most obvious thing, and it's just when that happens and you become that predictable, if you don't have the offensive line like they had the last couple of years, when you become predictable, you lose any slight advantage you may have had.
Texter says, I love Moore in the direction he's taking Michigan football. Signed, a Michigan State fan. As an MSU fan, I would take Moore over the clown we have running our program. At least Moore can recruit.
Well, this is where, and you mentioned it, there's a very pivotal offseason. I don't think Chiron is going to be relieved of duty.
No,
I don't think anybody, you know, you may want him to, but it's not going to happen. This is a very pivotal offseason. And if we've learned anything about, you know, this year's Greg Palm or the rankings, that you can turn around your program in an instant.
Yeah, I mean, who are some of the teams sitting in the mix atop the sport right now? It's Indiana, 10-0. It's BYU undefeated. It's SMU undefeated in ACC play to this point of the season, right?
It's a Vanderbilt team that has been ranked. They've got a transfer quarterback. Like, you have the ability to completely reshape your roster. Well,
and I would even point out the heavy hitters in the college football playoff tonight. You will see number one Oregon, number two Ohio State. Both teams were not shy about using the transfer portal. Both brought in a veteran quarterback, among other studs on their roster. I mean, Ohio State's roster is a $20 million deal. And Oregon, Phil Knight's not shy either. They went out and pulled receivers from the SEC and gave them a bag. Like, whether you're the little guy getting a step up or the big guy that's reinforcing their roster with the portal, you're right. College football now more than ever is set up for a team to turn around one year to the next.
It seems like they're getting a little dirtier than Michigan typically does by trying to flip Underwood.
It'd be like a big deal.
This is going to be a big deal if they flip him. He committed to LSU.
Did you see who's coaching him now?
Yes. Connor Stallions is on the coaching staff of Belleville now. It made me wonder a little bit about, is there something else going on there? But that's a lot of speculation. You took me off track, what I want to say. All this the recruiting class is allegedly good that's coming in.
Yeah.
And it will be border great if they get Underwood. Now, that's recruiting, and we've seen this 1,000 times. Doesn't mean you're going to be good. That doesn't take away the way you manage the game at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, using timeouts, clock management, sure.
You're going to do, if you don't change that and fix that or clearly see you really screwed that up,
you'll waste more talented teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point.